Is it investing the rest of your time here on earth or investing things in heaven? Here on earth, we know rust, corrupt things, the house you're building, the car you're driving, all of those are just temporal. And we all know, I hope we are in the same page, that we all know that everything we build here, we cannot take it up there when God calls us in the air. We will all leave all of those here in earth someday. And in heaven, lay not up your treasures on earth, but lay your treasures in heaven, where rust cannot corrupt or people cannot steal it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Isn't it great, my friends, that while we are living here on earth, our focus is on heavenly things? For young people, it might be somehow difficult to think like that. But you know, my friends, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is our life? It is like even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then, what? Vanisheth away. Only God knows the future. Only God knows the timetable of our lives. So we don't know until when we will be living here on earth. What we only have is today to live for Christ. Today is to live for Christ. So, you know, all of this time, talent, and treasures, but the best of this is the time. You know, God is still God without us. We all know that, right? God can do a lot of things without our talents and our skills and our treasures and our money. God is powerful enough to do everything. But God specifically wants from us is our time to spend with the Lord. So my friends, like what we've told you before, like for us, even missionaries, yes, it's common for us to be in need of financial things, like me and my wife. But you know what? We've learned for all of our travels, for I think almost 2 years now we've been traveling, and we are on 60% of our support, but I'm standing in front of you right now not to ask for your financial support, but to ask for the most important thing, prayer. We all know that money can do a lot of things and can reach a lot of things. But we know and we believe prayer can do everything. And prayer can reach everything. So we have here a commitment card. It's right there at the back later. If you want to be a part of our life, even young people, even kids, you can send missionaries to out of your country also. Just put a time right here where when you will be willing to pray for us. So in this little page right here, you can cut it out and send this one to us and keep this the rest of your Bible. And right here, you can always remember us. This small paper right here, small piece, we will take it with us to the Philippines. And we all know that we have 12 hours difference. Do you know that? That it's 11:20 here. It's also 11:20 in the Philippines in the evening. Yeah, so you go to bed right here, you can pray for us while we are getting ready to go out and win souls for Christ. And when you are snoring already, can you imagine that? People are getting saved in the Philippines. We can do the same thing, my friends, when we go home. With this one, I believe this one will encourage us a lot. There's a lot of things waiting for us in the Philippines. The place called Santa Cruz, it is really a strong, dominant Roman Catholic. And I believe as young couple, they won't like to have us there if we will tell to them the traditions they're inclined to and in bondage to is not a good thing. My friends, they won't like us there. Yes, one more time, money can do a lot of things. But when discouragement comes, spiritual downfall come, those are the money cannot do anything about it. I and my wife are just young couple, and we appreciate the most of your prayers. So please, if you want to be a part, fill the name right here, email church, pastor, and the time you want to pray for us. This small paper right here, it will be a great encouragement for us to have it in the Philippines for the exact time you want to pray for us, we will pray for you also with your name. And the church, and Salem Bible Church right here, we will always do that with this small paper. So we, my friends, want to be your partners in Christ in the ministry. Like our goals is like this. The most important thing is the soul. What I'm talking about prayer, I got here three years ago, but before I left the Philippines, I and my brother pastored the church already in Bataan. If you know the death march, the Bataan death march during World War II, that is where my brother and I pastored the church before. And this is my brother on the yellow, wearing yellow, barong. And the rest are the young people we've been winning and sharing the gospel. And two of them went to the Bible school already. One of them graduated already and is able to go out to start another church. And the name of that pastor is Pastor Lindon. Actually, this is what I'm talking about. Prayer really works, my friends. Even though we are here studying, we are not limited by the ministry. Because the ministry of prayer always works, my friends. It always works. My Pastor Lindon, when we are Bible studying him and helping him grow in Christ, he had a lot of persecution from his family way back then. And our culture, if you are the eldest of the children, you are next to the parents to provide for the family. It is a shame for them, actually, for our culture, somehow, for his parents to surrender his life in the full-time ministry. That's Pastor Lindon. There were times that he is so persecuted in his family by his parents. So he moved from his house to our church in Bataan. And just recently, I've heard a message. I called from him. He said, "Preacher, my parents profess their faith to the Lord of Jesus Christ. And by the time they're getting ready, they're getting ready to follow the water baptism." And this is their picture right there. You can see that is in South China Sea. They did the water baptism. This is also like Pastor Peter being a part of our life. So the ministry in prayers, my friend, is not limited by distance and time. So that's what we're just telling you about. The soul, even here on your country, my friends, it's so easy to be discouraged, not to see fruits. But let me tell you something. Just one more soul to be saved. It is enough to make heaven rejoice. And that's what God is looking for, even here on your country. We will be doing this ministry in the Philippines when we go home. The children's biblical outreach. You know, in the Philippines, we have a lot of kids coming from everywhere. Just play a guitar somewhere and you can see them will gather around you from out of the tree, out of the sea, out of under the bridge. You don't know where they're coming from. Just a sudden you can see them around you and just staring at you, looking at you, playing guitars for them. And children ministry, my friend, is a big opportunity for us to be able to get contacts to the parents and start a ministry and start a church. What I'm telling right now, discussing, is how you will pray for us. Specifically, pray for this kind of ministry, the children's biblical ministry. And, right here is a campsite. We are praying for 5 hectares. It's a 12 acres. Plan to build a campsite for the Lord's ministry. Actually, right here, when we've been in a Camp Logos 2019, yeah, that's a month after I and my wife got married, so we get separated, and we struggled a lot at that time, but we enjoyed it, though we don't have reception in Camp Logos, you know that, right? There's no signal, there's no anything, so we lost the communication, and the moment I get back to the college after a week, we're so excited, she's always so excited, can you imagine just a married couple being separated? We're so excited to see each other, and I'm so excited to tell her everything, what happened in the camp. And you know, from there, we started to pray that, "Lord, if you will let us have this kind of ministry when we go home, please do so." We're praying for a campsite also. And then, all of a sudden, my father told me, this government program in our country that they are looking for landless resident in our province to give a land, and all we need to do is just to work for paperwork. So that's a big opportunity. This is my father went there already. So the amount right there, 4,000, is just for paperwork for us to have that land. And this, they planted all everybody the fruit bearing trees, and it will be ready when we go home to build cabins and session halls when we go to home to start a camp. Sports evangelism too is basketball. Do you play basketball? Basketball is a big thing in the Philippines. You can see everybody everywhere when there's a flat surface, and they can, most of the time we don't wear shoes when we play on the street. We are barefooted. We like it better when we're barefooted. We're short. You know, we're short, but we love basketball. Basketball, I don't get it too, but I love basketball. I just recently broke my ankle playing basketball because I thought I still weigh the same before I get married. You know, I didn't anticipate my weight, that I weighed 40 pounds more than I weighed before. And, right here, like I'm talking about, I'm the one right there driving the tricycle. That is when I weigh 160. Right now, I'm almost 200. So it's hard. But this one is also, we came from village. This is of the young people were training. And on the tricycle, we pick kids and young people from the village to go to the church. And you can fit a lot of young people right there, maybe 8 to 10. But when Americans visit, they only fit maybe 2 or 3. So they don't understand why we fit right there. This is the place we will be going, Santa Cruz, Zambales. My wife's hometown is right there in Mindoro, so we're so different island. That island right there you can see composed of 7,107 islands. So that's a lot. That's a lot of islands. And the religion and belief on the place we will be going, the place Santa Cruz, is a dominant Roman Catholic and Iglesia ni Cristo. So the Roman Catholic, my friends, in the Philippines is still enticed with the bondage. I don't know right here, but they still practice. Excuse me for the picture, for the kids, but this is how they do it there. Our people still believes that what Jesus Christ have done on the cross of Calvary, when he nailed himself to the cross, he suffered the crucifixion. They thought doing that, they will be forgiven from their sins. And it gets worse when the movie Passion of Christ came out. They have the picture and they do it exactly. They walk on the street building, bleeding themselves, crawling, until they get on a hill and they nail themselves to the cross. Millions of our people participate of that tradition. And one of that is out the town we will be going. Their elders are right there still enticed with that tradition. They thought doing that, they will be forgiven from their sins. Please pray for us. They are our burden. They won't like us if we will go there and tell them this is not the right thing. My friend, we will go there to tell them that what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary is already enough to free us from all of our sins. So please pray for us. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. So where do you want to spend the rest of your life? Is it building stuffs here on earth, or investing things in heaven with your time? So thank you so much. Your prayer means a lot to us, for these young couple. So thank you so much for that. Before I will bring the message, I and my wife will sing very quick for the song entitled Save to the Uttermost. Save to the Uttermost. Yeah, Philippines is very far. You know, it's very far. And I'm so glad the gospel is able to go to the Philippines. And we consider ourselves saved to the uttermost.
I could tell of the story when the and thousands were fed when he lifted the sea and he raised up the dead. I could tell of the others like the blind made to see. Oh, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me. I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. You must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. Just trust in the Savior and He'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can say, for I'm saved, saved, I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. To the uttermost, I'm saved to the uttermost.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open it with me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is not my text, but I will just start in this passage. More in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." In verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." My friends, I'm standing in front of you right now, and I consider myself just like a regular delivery man. Like what Paul says right here, he just went to Corinthians by the time to deliver, which he also received, the gospel. And this is the same message that we will preach when we go home to the Philippines. For what we have heard and received, that Christ died for our sins. And in the third day, He rose again. The same preaching we will do when we go home. This is not the message I prepared yesterday when we were traveling, going to Pastor Ben's house. But this is the message that God laid in my heart last night when I was studying. For the gospel, our responsibility for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray very quick. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us. Oh Lord, it might be my last chance, Lord, an opportunity, Lord, to be a blessing to these people, to my brothers and sisters in Christ here in this country, Lord. Oh God, I pray, use me. Use me, I pray, Lord. Prepare their hearts. If there is anything that will hinder their hearts, Lord, from being a good heart, to be absorbent to your word today, Lord, take it away, oh God. Lord, we want to lift your name. In Jesus Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. My friends, aren't you glad that even though we are so far from the cross of Calvary, the gospel is able to reach us? Can you just imagine for a while that moment you've heard that Jesus Christ loves you so much, that He died on the cross of Calvary for you, and on the third day He rose again? The gospel, the good news I'm talking about, can you imagine the time you've heard it and you received Him in your heart as Lord and personal Savior? Can you imagine the power of the gospel that changed your life upside down, that changed your life from worst to best, that change our life for full transformation? Can you imagine that certain time, my friends? Can you imagine how far are you from the cross of Calvary? In the Philippines, we're 4,000 miles away from the cross of Calvary. And the first time we've heard the name Jesus Christ is when Spaniards came there during 1500s. The first time we've heard Jesus Christ. And it's not the gospel, the clear gospel actually. It's not actually the full understanding of gospel. The very first time Jesus Christ heard on that time. And you know what? Many, many years after that time, and when it reached you, it is still powerful enough to save you. Aren't you glad, my friends, that it is powerful enough to save somebody right there? If he will choose to believe Christ. Right? If you have your Bibles, I will just give to you some of the passages right here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we all of us know this passage in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 18, the Bible says, chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them that are saved, it is the power of God. My friends, this message I have, if you are watching online and you are saved, and if you are here and you are saved, whether you are right now, where you are saved or you don't have yet Christ on your life, this message is for you. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them that are saved, it is the power of God. If you are a Christian, my friends, we all know that the greatest commission in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. We all know that when Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We all know that this great commission is not just for the preachers, right? We all know that it is not just for Pastor Doug or Pastor Ben or missionaries that you are able to send to different countries. It is not just for evangelists, my friends. It is every Christian's individual accountability for the Lord. For the greatest commission, we are all commissioned to teach and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what, my friends, let me just tell you one thing. Since we are going home already, we might be able to do that, Lord willing, February 3. This is always in my heart to tell every churches, but most of the time, I don't feel the liberty to say this. But can I tell you something? Our heart as missionaries, young couple, we're brokenhearted. Even though there are a lot of churches that send a chunk of their finances to the missions. They send a lot of their monies to the missions. It is a good thing. We're so thankful for that. But my friends, can I encourage you right now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that please, don't be comfortable for just sending your money to the mission field. Please, my friend, don't be comfortable for just sacrificing your money to send to the missionaries. Can I encourage you to be a part of that mission work, not just through money? Because, my friends, mission field is not just across, not just on the Philippines. It's not just on the outermost. It is also here on your community. It is also here on your country. We're going home. I'm so glad. But we're thinking too much about America right now. Concerning the news and the latest updates. We're praying so hard for your country. And let me tell you, my friends, if you, as Christians, won't stand for Christ right now, there's nowhere you will go. This is your country, and this is the only one you have to fight for. As Christians and believers in Christ, we are the light of this world. The city that was hid on a hill, that was set on the hill cannot be hid. Let us light our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. God is counting on us. Well, last night we talked about witness. Pastor Ben asked about the best definition and illustration of the witness for the kids. You know, it says that everyone that tells about Christ is a witness. But my friends, let me tell you something for that. Those are for the kids. For all of us, we've been a Christian for so long. A witness, we all know what witness is, right? For example, there's a crime that happened. One is the victim. The suspect is one they're looking for. And the clue and the answer always is the witness. The one that saw what happened. And you know what? The witness always have the biggest accountability and responsibility to tell the truth. My friends, if you're claiming right now that you're a Christian, we have responsibility to tell somebody that Jesus Christ is really alive. Because you've witnessed it on your life. We've witnessed Him working in our lives. And we truly believe that He is alive. Whereas we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. My friends, if you really claim you're a Christian, Christ is truly alive in us. And we are His witness. To tell somebody and prove somebody that He is really alive. But let me tell you, we won't be able to do that if we were a Christian and everything that came out of our mouths and our hearts are those negative things. Like things that won't encourage somebody. Things that won't give hope to somebody. Things that won't give light to somebody. We are the living testimony of Jesus Christ. We are His witness. And one of the biggest examples of that is Paul. Paul, and we will not study about the life of Paul, but we will study one of his letter to the Thessalonians. especially in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. You all know that what happened when Paul in the road of Damascus, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. That is when he believed that Christ is really alive. And since then, God used him mightily to be a witness for the whole world. In verse 5, chapter 1, for our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. In verse 9, for they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. My friend, the preaching of the gospel that Paul preached at Thessalonica at this time is the same gospel that reached you wherever you are at the time. It is the same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when thousands of people got saved. And it is the same gospel that you could be able to preach and share somebody that changed somebody's life. And it is the same powerful enough to pierce through the heart like a two-edged sword of somebody that will believe to Christ. For they themselves, and verse chapter 2, verse 1, for yourself, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know what happened at Philippi, what happened to them before they get here in Thessalonica. They went in prison in Philippian, right? On the Philippian jailer, what happened to them right there. And people right here know and heard of that. And they prepared themselves to prepare contention for them. But Paul says, right, the Bible says here, and Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. My friends, our responsibility to the gospel as a witness of Christ is to preach the gospel with boldness. Number one, with boldness. You know what? Being bold is not being a clumsy, you know? Being bold is not being impulsive. Being bold is willingness to do the right thing despite of risks. That is what the world needs right now. For some Christians to stand up for truth. And for some believers to preach the gospel with boldness. What hinders us usually to preach the gospel with boldness is fear. You know what? Fear. Fear with opposition, right? In the works, we are afraid to tell somebody Christ because we fear of discrimination and opposition from works and from our friends. We are fear to tell Christ to them because we don't want the feeling of embarrassment. We fear the feeling of persecution. You know what? Fear, the spirit of fear is not coming from the Lord. My friends, the thing that hinders us is fear. But you know what Paul says right here in verse 3? For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. My friends, don't be afraid to preach the gospel because what you will tell them is the truth. It is not guile or it is not fiction. Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again. Until now, my friends, nobody can prove that Jesus Christ is still on the tomb. Nobody can show us where the body of Jesus Christ is. What we are telling to everybody, and we will preach to somebody, is not fiction. It is not something that created story by man. It is the truth. It is what happened in the history, my friends. Let me tell you something. Let us preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness, without fear from somebody, because what we are preaching is the truth. In verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so, which trieth with not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart. When we preach the gospel, we don't please men, right? It is important for us to think and to focus of whom we are really serving, to whom we are really doing it for. Not for man. Not to please somebody. Not to please our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not to please our pastor. Not to please our father. But to please God. Not even to please your friend. So don't be afraid of sharing and preaching the gospel to them. Because we are not pleasing man, we are pleasing God. Number two, share the gospel. It is our responsibility to, in verse 5, let us read verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. My friends, let me tell you something. As a witness of Christ, it is our responsibility to present the gospel precisely. The way we've heard the gospel is also the way we could be able to tell it to somebody. Are you afraid to tell somebody because we don't know what to say? We don't have a chance to study the whole Bible yet that we will be able to tell somebody about Christ? My friends, we don't know to be a theologian before we will be able to share Christ to somebody. What we need to do is tell somebody precisely the gospel of Jesus Christ. What you've experienced for knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't need to add something for the scripture. The scripture, my friends, the gospel is already powerful enough to change somebody's life. It is not our duty to save somebody. It is God's power that He will be able to save somebody. Our duty is just to cast the seeds, to preach the gospel, to tell somebody about Christ. And that's what we will do. It is always easy to be discouraged if you will always look for the fruits of the labor and not find the joy in serving the Lord. That is something I learned last night. Well, number three. In verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, even as nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. My friends, it is our duty to share the gospel cheerfully. Do you know what I mean, brothers and sisters in Christ? Cheerfully. It is not enough just to tell somebody that the scriptures, actually, most of the time, it is always effective when they felt the cheerfulness in our hearts when we share the gospel. One thing we've lost so long ago is the compassion for the lost souls. My friends, when I was growing up, I am always mad at those people that were in the news in our country that somebody murdered somebody, somebody killed somebody, somebody burned the house of somebody, somebody just killed children. It makes my heart so mad. And sometimes I think, when I was just a little kid, they deserve hell. You know what? Sometimes I think like that. They don't deserve for heaven, the heaven. They don't deserve to hear the gospel. They don't deserve to know the truth. Because they deserve punishment. You know what, my friend? Christ died for them also. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And they're the reason. We are the reason. We are sinners why Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And we won't understand that until we understand the love of God for the lost souls, my friends. That is what we need to pray for right now. Are you living your life right now as Christian life in fulfilling the greatest commission that God has commanded us? In my conclusion, I will just end in this in one passage of the scripture, and I one illustration. So let me just read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us it is which are saved, it is the power of God. In verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God had world, by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews that is looking for the signs, usually it is a stumbling block for the Jews that they look for Christ as their ruler someday that will free them from Roman Empire. For them it is a stumbling block to hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And unto the Greek it is foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. Those people right now, if you are here and you're there out online, and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you still have that kind of grudge to believe Christ, that He is able to save you. My friends, there is only two reasons why you don't do that. It is because you think you need to understand it first enough before you will believe. Or it's either you're looking for a miracle first before you will believe Christ. My friends, the only thing you need to do is to believe first before you will have the understanding of the scripture, and you will be able to see the miracles and wonders that God has made. The only thing we need to do is to believe for us to be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I believe in hell right now. Even atheists that proclaim, that says that they are atheists before, in hell right now, I believe there's no unbeliever anymore. Do you think that way sometimes? I believe there's no unbeliever right there anymore. Now that they have the punishment, they saw the condemnation, and they saw that the hell is real, my friend. They believe already. But you know what the difference is? It's too late. You're here right now online. You still have a chance to believe that Jesus Christ really has risen from the dead and is able to save you. And if you're saved, how are you living your Christian life, my friends? How are we really living our Christian life? There's two men in Emmaus Road walking. You remember that passage? After Jesus Christ died on the cross, third day, they walked back again to their village because they thought Jesus Christ is still dead. Remember that passage? Jesus Christ walked with them and showed them, talked with them, and they didn't even realize that Christ is really the one they're talking to. They thought right there, the one that they are awaiting Savior still on the tomb. You know what, my friend? To live your life as a Christian life right now, as if Christ is dead, is the most miserable thing you will live. Live your life as if Christ is really alive. My friend, let me encourage you, live your life as a witness of Christ to somebody that Christ is truly alive and working in our lives. Your country right now needs somebody to tell everybody that the gospel is enough to change the whole world, to turn the whole world upside down, like what happened when Paul preached all throughout the world that time. My friends, we will be going to the Philippines. And as our partners in Christ, it is our joy also to hear from you that you're also growing here in Christ. That you're also winning souls for Christ. As partners in Christ, you won't rejoice when somebody gets saved in the Philippines if you won't see somebody here get saved. So, my friends, I hope this message that we've shared to you this time is a great encouragement and reminder for us, all of us, that we are all in God's greatest commission, witness of Christ.